Hello, and welcome to a Vashon Minute, where we take a moment to focus on one island issue or one island person at a time. I'm Susan McCabe, your host for this episode, where we will focus on gardening, a popular passion for many islanders. And I'm thrilled to have as my guest today the region's best-known expert on gardening, Cisco Morris. Welcome, Cisco.
La la. Hey, it's great to be here.
Well, it's so wonderful to have you. I feel very lucky. And despite the fact that a Vashon Minute is 15 minutes long, it doesn't seem like enough time to learn all we want to know from you about gardening here on Vashon Island. So let's start with the drought. How do we stay green without taxing our precious aquifers?
Well, I think the number one thing that gardeners need to do so they don't have to water as often is to mulch. And there's a lot of different things you can use to mulch. Some people use bark. That's not my favorite. I don't like it. I think it packs down too tight and it's too uniform and it doesn't let water and air penetrate to the roots very well. My favorite is the wood chips left over from the arborist, that man or woman that is putting those giant branches through that big grinder machine. If you can get those work really well. They
Wood
break
chips.
down, wood chips from the arborist. They're wonderful. You only want to put them on the soil surface. You never want to work them into the ground when you're planting a plant. You got to get them out of the way. It's kind of a pain. But if you do that, then those wood chips, they're not very uniform. They really allow the air and water to penetrate through, but they slow evaporation quite a bit. And also, they break down in about a year, turning into the best topsoil you've ever seen. So you need to do this every year. And they're also associated with something called mycorrhizae, which are these small fungus nodules that attach to the roots of trees and perennials and other plants and send out little feeders to find extra food and water for the plant, and they get fed by byproducts that come through the roots. That's the best mulch you can get. But you can use compost, it works really well too. The only problem is wood chips give you weed control because for a weed seed to germinate, it has to be hit by direct sunlight, as a general rule. And so, when you have the wood chips down there, the sun isn't penetrating to the soil surface and you don't get many weeds growing. If you use compost, weeds love growing the compost. There's no
Yeah.
problem because they pull out easier, but but compost is better than nothing by a mile and a half.
Yeah, for those of us who don't have access to a lot of wood chips, I think compost is a great option. What about sawdust?
Sawdust, you could use it on the soil surface. Again, that's a pretty darn uniform product. It's probably going to cause some problems for air and water penetrating through. So it wouldn't be my first choice.
Okay. I happen to have a lot of sawdust available too. So, what question do you get most often from experienced gardeners, and what do gardening newbies ask you most often?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think a lot of garden experts want to know what's the best time to prune certain plants and probably how often and what fertilizer to use in their garden. And I always tell everybody, I'm an organic gardener. I like organic fertilizer, and they make really good ones now. And so, for instance, if you've got a dahlia growing out there, two things you got to do. You got a dead head, you got to get the old flowers off all the time, because if any plant knows it goes to seed, it knows it did the job it's on earth for. So you have to frustrate the living tweedle out of the plant by not letting it raise a raise a family by going to seed, by deadheading. And then, you could fertilize and you can use these organic granulars. But if a plant's not really pumping out flowers as well as I want it to, I'll probably use one of the new organic soluble liquid fertilizers, mix that in and give it a shot of that. And that usually will tell the plant, all right, already, quit dinking around, get out there and flower,
What about fish poop?
Fish poop is great. I don't know if it's fish poop that I use. I use fish fertilizer, but it's usually made out of the actual fish.
Oh.
But it's great stuff. And it comes in a lot of different formulations. The key thing to remember is those three main ingredients, so nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. It's the numbers on the bag. So if you got 555, that's called, or equal numbers anyway, that's called an all-purpose fertilizer. That's good for practically anything. But if you're fertilizing your lettuce, you're probably going to give your lettuce 10-5-5. You want a lot of growth. So nitrogen is the first number. You want lots of that nitrogen in there so that lettuce grows fast because you're picking it every night for your salad, or every morning is when you
Oh,
should
so
pick it.
would that be true, that fertilizer mix, would that be true for any vegetable garden? Any
Well,
vegetable?
if you're growing tomatoes, then you want to use 5-10-10. Because the second number, so the first number, nitrogen, if you have too much nitrogen in there, you're going to tell your tomatoes, if you use 10-5-5, you're telling your tomatoes, grow like mad, but don't produce fruit,
Oh.
because the fruit's going to go to seed, And so if you're going to fertilize your tomatoes, you want something like 5-10-10, because phosphorus is the fertilizer, the ingredients in the fertilizer that tells your plant, hey, produce fruit, go to seed. So your dahlia, you want to say, hey, I want you to go to seed. I want you to produce lots of flowers that are going to seed, but then we're going to cut the spent flowers off so it doesn't get to do it. And we frustrate the tweedle out of the plant by not letting it raise a family, and it goes, I gotta produce more flowers.
There is so
So
much to know, and I feel like when you say talking to our plants through fertilizer and what we put in our soil, I think they're talking to each other too. I've always wanted to grow plants that would flower year-round. What plants do you recommend to achieve that? Is it even possible in this latitude?
well, the only plants I have that flower year round are my house plants.
Oh, darn. Okay.
Yeah, because they're in a nice warm environment. So something like Anthurium or African violets, you can keep them blooming if you fertilize them, and some orchids. But outside, what you can do is you could plant plants that bloom at different times a year. So things like hardy fuchsia and salvia and a number of other plants like that, those bloom all summer long. So I love those because the hummingbirds are just feeding on them all summer. But there are plants that bloom in winter here. So if you're like me, I travel in the winter a lot. I lead garden tours around the world and do things like that. And so I, for instance, want plants that are blooming all winter to feed my Anna's hummingbirds, so I don't have to hang up a hummingbird feeder and have my house sitter deal with that. And so there are quite a number of plants that bloom in winter here. There's something called Edgeworthia, Daphne odora, Sarcococca. The list goes on. But if people go to cisco.com, CISCOE.com, you can find all the plants that I have blooming in my garden during winter to feed my hummingbirds.
Excellent. Cisco.com. And folks, I am talking with Cisco Morris, who will be here at the Vashon Theater August 14th, 5 p.m., courtesy of the Vashon Maury Island Garden Club. I have one last question for you because, of course, it's been so great and we're running out of time. You have done a great job of combining your passion for gardening with your joy for travel and all these tours that you host. How long did it take you to realize that dream, and what is your secret?
You know the funniest thing? The very first tour that I led, it went to Australia and New Zealand, and it was in this horrible cruise ship on its last version, its last voyage. And the trip turned out all right, but the people organizing it with me didn't know what they were doing. And when I came home, I said, "That's it. I'm never doing another garden tour." And the guy I work with now called me up and said, "Hey, I can work with you to set up the best tour." And we did. That was 26 international garden tours ago. So,
Wow.
and I think the key to doing a really cool garden tour, you got to find really fun gardens to go to, including private gardens, because that makes it a lot more fun. And you've got to go to some of the famous great gardens, like Sissinghurst and Great Dixter. And you also have to have a lot of other fun things to do, because a lot of times spouses get dragged along. They're not really gardeners, so we send them out golfing sometimes, or we do some wine tasting or whiskey tasting, if you're in Scotland or something. But mainly, I try to keep it really fun. We play some games at night. We have a special kind of real fun award ceremony where everybody gets a little name from the trip, and we go back, and we all remember the funnest memories on the trip, and so I think the key is to have fun. Keep the group small. I'm leading two to England next year, and I'm only going to have 14 people on those tours.
So how does one join that July 2026 tour?
And there's only, I don't know how many spaces are left. Already one of the England ones full. So what they could do is go to cisco.com, CISCOE.com, hit the travel section. And then I have a great description. I work with Northwest Travel. He's a guy I've worked with for a lot of years. And so it has a great description on there, tells you everything you need to know, how many dinners you get. I never eat lunch. I'm an oddball that way. I only eat breakfast and dinner. So usually you're on your own for lunch, but a lot of times we eat dinner together, and those are the nights we'll play some games. But we give people a chance to go out and get their own dinner too, but yeah, so you can find out everything about those tours by going to the travel section in my website.
Thank you, Cisco Morris. That sounds like so much fun. So, folks, if you want to go to England on a garden tour next July, go to Cisco, CISCOE.com, and go there to find out what plants you can plant to have flowers year round. And on August 14th at 5 o'clock at the Vashon Theater, the Vashon Maury Island Garden Club is going to bring you Cisco himself, and you can get everything you need to know about gardening this year. Cisco Morris, thank you so much for being with me here on a Vashon Minute. And dear listener, thank you for joining us. Stay tuned to the voice of Vashon. You never know what might come next.
Bye-bye.